Now that he has his first experience with Arcel under his belt, let's see how Ari is adjusting back to normal life. Ari, you headed back to school and saw that a new magic club has started up. It looks as though that it's got stage magic, very much in the skein of Penn and Teller. A lot of up-close magic and people just talking about stage magic. When you arrive, you see a whole bunch of new people, folks that you've not yet met on campus. And you mingle a bit, and there's a fellow named Jacques. He's from France. He's from an area of Toulouse. And he, besides doing stage magic, he's also an accomplished juggler. And he's wowing and wooing the folks that are there. Looks over, hey, catch, and tosses a ball at you.
I'll try and catch it.
The ball goes by your hands and bonks you on the cheek. Oh, what are you doing?
Missing?
No, it's monsieur.
Okay, yeah.
And try again. And he tosses it to you, and this time you catch it. Throw it back.
Oh, no.
No, underhand. Not overhand. There we go. Now catch. Here comes another one.
Ah!
Faster. Here comes another one.
Ah!
You notice that he's turning it into an act. He's doing crowd work with you while he's doing juggling one-handed and tossing you some balls. When he tosses you the fifth ball before you're able to toss it back, your phone rings. It's your mother. Your mother's ringtone.
Oh boy, I have to take this.
The other ball hits you in the head.
Ow!
They're only foam! Come on, man!
It's not a pain thing, it's a surprise thing. It's human reactions, we do that.
Phone rings again.
Okay, here. Catch all of these. I gotta go.
What, you go to the hospital and you don't call your mother?
Hi, Mom.
What, I'm not important enough? You know, I'm over here on the whole other side of the country and you don't tell me? You don't call me? You were calling me,
Mom.
And then you stopped calling me, and I worry about you.
Mom, you're in Fremont. You're 20 minutes away.
I'm not in Fremont. I'm visiting your aunt. We're in Secaucus.
Well,
you didn't
known
tell
that me
if you called
either.
Me.
Okay. Mom, I was in the hospital and I didn't have my phone. That's the whole point, remember?
Well, did the doctor
I
fix
told
everything
you this
for
bef-
you?
Yeah.
You're doing good?
Yeah, I'm okay. And I'm even eating enough.
Are you sure? Last picture I saw, you were awfully skinny.
Mom, I've always been skinny, remember?
I know. And I think that you just keep feeding the dog the matzo balls. Because you didn't like them, because they were too dry.
They were in soup. How could they be too dry?
I don't know, but that's what you said when you were five.
I was five. Mom, that was 23 years ago. How are you still bringing this up?
I'm your mother. That's what I'm supposed to do, but that's okay. You're doing good though, right?
Yeah, I'm doing good. I'm going to class. I'm working on my thesis. I was trying to join a new club and make friends. And then you called me.
Oh, what kind of club are you joining?
A social club.
Oh, okay. Kind of like the Lithuanian club? Are there any chance that you might be able to meet a girl there? Or guy there? Partner, I mean.
Mom, I just got out of the hospital. I'm still trying to figure some things out first, okay?
Oh, you said you were okay.
I am okay. Mom, I'm okay. I just, will you stop? I understand that you want grandchildren, just like Aunt Ruth, but it's, you can't get it by pressuring me to marry the first girl I meet.
Well, it doesn't have to be a girl, Bubby. It could be a guy. There's adoptions. We're okay with that.
Mom, you're not going to get grandchildren any faster by telling me every day.
I don't want to go any slower because I'm not going to be here. I mean, I want to spend my prime. I love you, Bubby.
Yes, Mom. Okay.
Don't you yes, Mom, me. Well, you go back to your friends and your club, and hopefully your clubhouse is nice.
Yep, it's in an oak tree.
Wait.
It's in a treehouse.
Wait,
it's a club.
Is that a code word for
bye, Mom. Bye. I'll talk to you on Friday when I see you for Shabbat. Bye.
Bye.
All right, so we're going to increase your dexterity because the entire time this was happening, you were watching, and you became friends with Jacques. And Jacques decided that he was going to take you under his wing and teach you how to juggle. So your dexterity will increase from its current number, which is?
9.
To a 10.
Yay, double digits. I actually have a 50-50 chance if I have to roll that.
And you mark on your calendar that you're going to meet your mom on Friday for Shabbat. Better not be late.
What do you mean, mark it on my calendar? It's already on my calendar. It has been.
Now let's check in with Max. I think it might be Oliver's birthday. So, babe, where are we going?
Well, it's a surprise.
I get that it's a surprise, but, like, I mean, it's my birthday.
Oh my god, it's your birthday?
Are you serious?
Oh shit, yes, I know, it's your birthday. She hands him her phone with the email pulled up that says where they're going.
Oh.
Sonoma Raceways.
Wow. We're both going racing on the track?
Yeah. Isn't it amazing? They've got lessons, so we're going to get a little lesson from a professional, and then we are going to go about 1 billion miles per hour and probably be extremely gross and sweaty by the end of here. Inside of those cockpits is really intense. But it's going to be amazing!
Yeah, well, it is! Oh, they've got like McLarens, they've got... This one looks scary. It doesn't have, like, wheels. I mean, it's got wheels. It has wheels, but it doesn't have covers over the wheels. Oh, it's an F3 car. That's cool.
There's more Fs? How many? I thought there was just the one.
I thought so, too. I mean, this is... Oh my god, this is going to be so cool. You pull into the parking lot of the raceway, and there is this exciting feel that both you and Oliver feel. One, it's his birthday, true, but it seems as though that there's just adrenaline on the air. There's a bit of electricity here. When you step out of the car, you can hear the cars in the background, and they're loud. You head to the box office and show them your ticket and your email, and they bring you in, and it's a big to-do. When you and Oliver enter into the classroom itself, there's a cake out there and there's an instructor up front and he starts singing happy birthday to Oliver on the way. Yes, this was part of the package too. He looks at you with eyes so wide, there's little tears forming. This is gonna be exciting. The instructor goes over the vehicles that you're gonna be driving, goes over the track route, and you see the map up ahead, and you see that there are simulators here as well. In a short time, you get to sit down in the simulator and play a video game about driving around the track a couple times for about an hour. It's a lot of fun. Oliver excitedly grabs your hand when you guys move on to the next step, and you're given your own race suits. They're rentals, but they're fireproof suits, and then you're shown to your vehicles. Got a couple different cars that are available to you. There is 2 Honda Civics. There is a fancy Mustang. There is a Formula 3 car. There is a Toyota Supra. And then there's something called the Wolverine Max, which looks like it's a side-by-side type of four-wheel car, like an ATV. But they look like they're going to get you guys set up in either the Supra, the Honda, or the Mustang. Which one do you want to drive?
I got to go for the Mustang. It's classic.
It is classic. When you sit down, there's a 5-point harness and you get put in there all nice and snug. They make sure that you're all set and ready to go. And they make sure that you're all set up, take the measurements. Then they move you over to the passenger side, disappointingly. And both you and Oliver take a few laps around at very high speeds. It's exciting. You go around the track quite a few times and it's hair-raising. Your adrenaline is up. And you pass by Oliver and he is all smiles. Then you're given an opportunity to get behind the wheel yourselves. And the engines rev and you both take off. Tell me about it.
Well, I think maybe there's a bit of adjustment moving from being hurtled around a track to being the one doing the hurtling. I think there's probably a bit of excitement about, like, as the speedometer ticks up, just going, I can't believe I'm legally allowed to keep going as fast as I'm going. Like, I speed on a good day, but today I can achieve my also wildest dreams of breaking 100, like, really going for it. And at the same time, trying not to panic about what everything is around me, because it's going by so quickly.
You get through the laps, and it seems as though that you had just got here. You arrived at around 9 a.m., and it's currently 4 p.m. You've put in quite a few laps, but time flew by. Oliver gets out of his car. You both compare the times, and it looks as though that he eked out your best time by only about a second. But you guys were really, really close, and you were a little more consistent than he was.
Nice.
This is the best present ever. I don't know how we're gonna top this. Thank you so much, babe.
You're welcome. I know you wanted to try this out for a long time, and honestly, it was definitely self-serving. That was, oh my God, that was so much fun.
Yeah, but I got you by a second. I got you by a second.
Look, I would have had you on the next lap, okay? Is that close? No, I saw what you did around that last corner, edging right towards the side.
I had to. I can't. Well, all right, so we're just going to have to do this again.
I mean, that's true. We'll do it again on my birthday, and then I will win because it's my birthday.
Yeah, we'll see about that.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, we're going to go ahead and we're going to increase your drive skills. So go ahead and roll 1d10 for me, please.
That's a 6.
Your drive increases by 6. Now, on the second page of your sheet, because this is kind of special, right? You're going to see an area for specialty training. Go ahead and write high speed. And then in parentheses, write driving.
Cool.
So with special training, that will come into play in specific instances. And your special training is going to help you out when you're driving at high speed and give you a bonus.
We've had so many car-related incidents.
Some changes are happening for Samantha. Let's look in on her. Samantha, your entire life, you've been a runner. From elementary school to those fun runs that you did in middle school and even a little bit in high school, the way that you kept in shape was running. You tried to get out and stretch your legs the other day when you were out, and you noticed that your knees weren't having it. Your breath was hard to catch. It felt like you were running with a 20-pound weight on each shoulder. And that stabbing running pain that you'd get in your side, yeah, that switched to the same side that where you got shot. It seems as though body might be breaking down. You're getting old, Rowan.
Guess it happens in this particular industry, especially when you actually get shot and filled with shrapnel and stabbed with shit sticks.
The wounds that you had are technically healed. There is still some scarring, and you have fun stories that you can tell the cool folks that get to see each of those scars. It seems as though that you're going to need a new outlet, because running after you make it home to the Rainbow House, running seemed like it was more work than it was worth.
Yeah, I sit down on the front steps, water bottle dropped carelessly on the ground next to me as I just try to catch my breath. Everything is hurting in a way that it hasn't. My mom always says I ran before I learned how to walk. Like, this has always been my thing, and now it hurts in ways that are scary.
Jonathan is walking up the path to the house, has a gym bag with him, towel around his neck, and beaming smiles. He's still got a little steam coming off of him this late winter. Hey, how you doing?
Not good, it seems.
No. Anything I could do to help?
Not unless you can make the last 4 years not happen to my body.
All right, let me try.
Nope. I think that's a little beyond anyone's power.
Hang on. I think I know this. I watched that movie.
You're going to have to be more specific.
No, I watched that movie with Dr. Strange Guy. So hang on. He steps back, takes his hands, and begins to move them in circles. Anything?
Afraid not. I'm fine. I guess I need to find a different way to get the blood pumping, so to speak.
Well, I've got a gym membership. We could be workout buddies.
I have this feeling that if I can't propel myself along with running, I'm not going to be able to pick up much in the way of weights, I think.
No, I don't go for weights. I go for the sauna, the swimming pool, and the hot tub.
Your gym has a pool?
Yeah.
Damn.
I mean, it's nice. And you know what? You could swim all day long, all year long. You don't even have to wait until they go outside.
You know I've run in some really weird conditions, but that's actually a really good, you know, swimming's supposed to be lower impact and shit for people who have joint problems and stuff. I always figured that wouldn't happen to me till I was in my 60s, but you know.
I mean, you don't look a day older than 71 anyway.
Well, you know, I've aged well, thanks.
Mm-hmm. Like a fine wine.
Clean living.
Such a sassy vinegar you've turned into.
And chuckling, Rowan is hauling herself up to her feet and trying to stretch it out, because otherwise she's going to be in even more pain in the morning.
All right, you know what? Tomorrow morning, before you go into work, we'll get up nice and early. I'll take you over, drop your ass in the hot tub. They've got one of those cool chairs that's got like massage things going on there. And you don't have to pay for it for at least this month, because I got a free like companion membership. So come on with me.
You know what? I think I will. What time?
What time you want to go?
Well, I should be into work by 8, but Sam's the only one who ever knows, so I can go whenever.
All right. So how about you want 6?
Sure. Let's do 6.
All right. Get you all patched up. He reaches over and pats you on the shoulder.
Thanks, buddy.
No problem. Oh, all right. Hey, we got some new cookies. So I really don't want to eat the entire batch by myself.
Well, you'll just have to bring those over when I make you a thank you dinner.
All right. Sounds good. I'll bring the scotch.
Yes, please. I'm not drinking much these days.
Okay. I'll bring the scotch for me.
Yeah, no, you enjoy it. Please, feel free.
Jonathan walks past, opens up the door, and heads inside.
Take a couple of extra minutes stretching, letting my breath calm, and then go into my house and try to remember if I have a swimsuit anymore.
By chance of luck, you do have one. Next morning rolls around. Jonathan meets you outside all bright and early. He takes you to his fantastic gym. You notice there is quite a bit of eye candy here. Quite a bit. And he's monogamish. So, you know, he's there for viewing as well as working out. Gets you set up. And when you slide into one of the lanes to go swimming, there's a little bit of childhood memories and joy pop up. It seems like, what's that word? taking it like a fish to water.
Take a moment and just like let myself float, orient in the water, and then try to remember the, because I took swim lessons with my brothers, try to remember the various strokes and try to find the most comfortable and efficient way to swim.
Luckily, you don't have a stroke, though at times you feel like you might. With that, you found a new way to get a good workout going. We're going to add the skill swimming there for you. And do you have any points in swimming at the moment?
I do not. Besides the base.
Okay. So what I'd like for you to do is go ahead and give me a 1d10.
Okay. Ooh, that's a 9.
9, excellent. Your swim skill goes up by 9 points.
Love to see it.
You're finding some enjoyment. It's not the same. You don't get the same runner's high that you had in past, but it's an adaptation. Maybe you'll get there.
And when I pull myself out of the water and dry myself off, I'll find Jonathan where he's probably covertly ogling someone and like punch him in the upper arm. All right, you were right.
When am I wrong?
Do you want the short list or the long?
We can go with the long because we're going to sit in this sauna until both of us come up with a way to find out world peace.
Ooh, we might die here. Okay.
I don't think so. I've got an answer for that. It has to deal with cookies.
Cookies. Good plan. I like this.
And the Ramones, but that's not my plan. I'm altering that from Henry Rollins. Time keeps turning for Mike and his family life, and his little girl is getting older. Let's see what's going on with them. Standing across the street from the prestigious MIT, Massachusetts Institute of Technology, Katie has her hands clenched tightly in front of her. This place is intimidating, Dad.
Well, the best people go here, and I think you absolutely qualify for that. You'll be fine, if this is where you want to go.
I think that's why we're doing these visits then, though, right?
Yeah. Get a feel for the place. And, I mean, you should definitely think about if you want to be this far away from home. I know there's pluses and minuses to that.
I mean, I know you want me to go to Caltech or Stanford or Davis, but she motions across the street. MIT.
It's a great school.
Well, let's go see what they've got going on. And she leans forward and takes a step onto the main busy street there. Crossing across Kendall Square, you see the Welcome Center. And it has 4 grand pillars and a marble building with grand doors across the way. The area is bustling. There's quite a bit of traffic in people traffic. There's foot traffic. You're right outside Boston. There's a lot of people here. You head inside and there are balloons up and there are signs that say, welcome incoming freshmen. There are signs that say, MIT and you, come with us. Let's make a difference. We could change the world. And Katie seems anxious and points out little things here and there. You've been to a couple colleges already, and a lot of them have very similar, you know, similar pitches. Katie checks in at the desk, and a few others start to mill in as well as you're all getting ready for a group tour. The tour guide is an upperclassman. He's a fifth year junior, and he proceeds to walk folks around the campus, talking about the different buildings and the programs. This young man is very knowledgeable about the school, also very well spoken. We don't begrudge him because his parents named him Preston, at least he's not Aiden or Colton. The campus is impressive, but here you sense that there is memories. And there is tradition here. The class sizes are going to be smaller than elsewhere, but then again, this is also very expensive. But you guys don't have to worry about that. You're shown to one of the science buildings, and the elevator has a sign that says out of order. Hey, is everybody okay with making a climb to the top floor? We've got a great view upstairs.
Oh, why does it have to be stairs?
Katie's like, yeah, Dad, come on. You can do it.
Okay. It's just stairs.
The fire door creaks open, and you hear some people echoing through the stairwell. It's a little bit loud. When your foot crosses the threshold, you get an ominous feeling. Like, deep down, ominous feeling. Katie looks back at you.
It's just stairs. It's perfectly ordinary stairs. What could possibly go wrong?
Come on, Dad. Let's go.
Well, yeah. Sure. We'll head up the stairs.
It takes you a bit of willpower to step past and step through. You still get a weird feeling. As you start to climb, you get to about the third of 8 floors, and you hear what sounds like a ping pong ball falling downstairs, and then another one, and then another one, and you hear laughter coming from upstairs. You see a bright green ball bounce down the stairs beside you. Katie looks at you and smiles. What the hell's going on? And you hear some giggling. Grab hold! Hold fast!
What is this?
Next thing you know, there's a cacophony of sound as you see that the entire stairwell is filled with bouncing rubber and plastic balls bouncing down. They're like a wave just pouring down the stairs. You're gonna have to get out of the way there.
Are we near a landing?
Yes.
Well, I will try to get to a doorway.
You get to the doorway and you find that it is locked from this side.
Oh, this is such a safety violation.
It opens in. It's open from the other side.
Oh, right. No, this is the exit.
The balls begin to bounce and Katie's grabbed hold of the railing. And you hear somebody kind of giggle and then hit the ground on the landing above as they landed on their butt because of the balls. And the balls just keep coming. Who the hell brought all of these balls to the top of the building?
Especially with the elevator not working.
You have to bounce yourself out of the way. So normally I don't ask for these, but I want you to make a dodge roll for me.
Okay. Well, I rolled a 34 out of 34.
Excellent. You're able to bound to the left and to the right, and the feeling of dread that you had gives way to a little bit of giddiness, as the balls themselves are foam and for the most part harmless, unless you kind of step wrong, and just the absurdity of it all. Preston is at the top of one of the landings, and he's laughing. Oh, looks like this was a prank by some of our science students. Raul, why did you go ahead and do this? Well, we wanted to measure how many would fall down in a certain amount of time, but we had some variances with the inclusion of all of these new people that want to come to our school.
Is this how you normally greet prospective students?
It's the steratisma. Sometimes.
See, Katie, you're going to fit right in.
Katie looks at you. I think I'm going to like it here, Dad. So we are going to go ahead and we're going to increase. I think let's increase your dodge skill there.
Okay.
So we said his dodge skill is 34. So go ahead and roll 1d10.
That is a 6.
6. So that makes it a 40. That's a pretty respectable dodge score there.
Not bad.
So Katie looks to be making some decisions in her life, but there's still more of the school to learn about.
Everyone needs a little help now and then. Let's check in on Brian.
Brian, Sam gave you the card for a therapist that she said that she trusts. You were reassured that the therapist knows what's going on. Standing in front of her office, it's a small home office, like the office is off to the side, and it says Marina Campos Psychiatry.
I will double check the time that I was told on my phone and then knock on the door.
The door opens up and you see a Hispanic woman in her 40s with a sharp set of gold eyeglasses on and wonderfully curly brown hair. It's kind of like her standout. You see her eyes and her hair and her smile, and she steps aside. Welcome in, Brian.
Thanks. Sam referred me to you.
Yeah. Yeah, I've worked with Sam before.
And your Delta Green is, you're a part of that?
Yes, she closes the door. I go by Inez in that circle. You can choose to call me Dr. Campos, you can call me Marina, or you can call me Inez, whatever you feel comfortable with.
Sounds good.
So, even the most efficient machine needs to slow down or be shut down for maintenance, right? Our brains work in different ways, and we've all seen things and heard things and done things that we're not necessarily ready for. So, I want you to come into this meeting with an open mind. I want you to know that you can trust me. Now, if you don't want to share certain things with me, be aware that you may not get the full impact of our therapy.
Mm-hmm.
But I understand some things can't always be said. But know that it is between you and I. I have experience in these things. And there is no one listening in. It's just us. It will not go up any higher. Even if it is something that you think is horrible, it will be between you and I, and we will discuss options. Sometimes they have to deal with the unnatural and making choices like that. Are you okay with that, Brian?
That sounds all good to me.
All right. Well, if you can come over into my office here and relax, you can sit down on the couch or that fancy chair that I've got over there where you can kick your feet up. If you want to kick your shoes off, you can do that as well. You'll find that the carpet is a nice plush and feels great underneath your toes if we need to, because we're going to be going over grounding exercises as well. All right, Joseph. So for Brian, let's go ahead and get a sanity roll here.
And remind you, do I want to pass or fail?
You want to pass this.
Okay. 31, which is below my sanity.
Excellent. So go ahead and roll 1d6 for me.
That's a 4.
That's a 4. Now, what is your power score by chance?
11 or 55, depending on which number you want.
11. Okay. We're going to go ahead and add half of your power. So half the 11, we're going to round down because the Call of Cthulhu world is brutal and so is Delta Green. So we're going to add 5 plus your roll. And that's what you're going to have for sanity. The reason why you got the bonus is because you have a therapist that you can actually talk to and explain all of those crazy things to.
Beautiful.
All of those unnatural things to.
So 9. That's pretty good, actually. All right, good. I have some buffer. I was, at the end of season 7, 6 points away.
I'm Tiana Hansen, and I play Rowan.
I'm Seth Jones, and I play River.
I'm Joseph Newman, and I play Ross.
I'm Christy Bauer, and I play Reagan.
I'm Ben Soslowski, and I play Ari.
I'm Dan Voskevich, the Handler. Our story is based upon the role-playing game Delta Green by Arc Dream Publishing. Delta Green is created by Dennis Detweiler, Adam Scott Glancy, and John Scott Tynes. If you like our story, there are a few ways you can support us. First, you can check out our Patreon page, www.patreon.com/theredactedreports. Patrons of our podcast will receive early access to episode, Rowan's written reports for each story, as well as other goodies and opportunities exclusive to our patrons. We offer special thanks to our $20 and up patrons, Stephen Schwartz, Danny, Tom Padula, Kit Thompson,
Lady Bedivere.
Heather Ney, Jen Obertaz, Naya Fenris, Shrek Manning, Red Dead Coquette, Ginger Fury, Dr. Christian Lehman, Deebles, Robbie Nowell, J. Matthews 85, Flynn Gallagher, Phoenix Team Handler Dennis, Knitting Daddy Greg, Multicam Yeti, Scott Miller, Rogue, Jacqueline Parrish, and Monsieur Quack. If you can't support us directly, that's okay. Please support us by telling people about us. Leave us a review wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on all the usual social media sites. Also, check out our website, www.theredactedreportspodcast.com. All of our handouts are archived there, and if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, you can reach out to Agent Harker through the contact form there. The Redacted Reports is edited and produced by Tiana Wren Hansen and is distributed by Quests and Chaos. If you like what you hear with us, give Quests and Chaos YouTube channel a visit. They play Dungeons & Dragons and Call of Cthulhu on a weekly basis and have a bunch of content archived on their YouTube channel. Additional undercurrent music, Rowan Rising, was composed and orchestrated by Alan Strickland, A-L-L-E-N. You can find him at alanstrickland.net for his classical compositions. Join us next week. In the sins of the father, retribution comes due. Beryl Spald dwindle to anxious supply, and we face a threat with such a human gall we cannot succumb, lest it gluttonizes us from within and without.